This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. It's been up, it's been down, it's been history, it's been current. Yeah, we're going to keep doing that this hour. I never did answer the question at the end of last hour. What history thing have I learned that has disillusioned me? I'll go into that in a second. After we do that, we're going to talk about winning the war against the communists in our country. We'll talk about that. We have so much more. It's going to be a great, great time. We're even going to talk about mainstream science. All that and so much more still to come on 2 hours left of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, the email was the guy had started reading about pirates, found out it would be horrible to be a pirate. It didn't last very long and life sucked. Okay. What about me? All right. So let me lay this out for you. I've always admired and been interested in tribal peoples of any kind. I find different lifestyles, different cultures, different tribes to be fascinating, whether that's American Indians or Aborigines or the Gauls or the African tribes or just the way different cultures have lived and fought and all these things. I've always been fascinated by it. And like when we would play Cowboys and Indians as a kid, which I don't even know if you're allowed to do that anymore, but half the time I wanted to be one of the Indians. Sometimes I wanted to be a cowboy. Sometimes I wanted to be an Indian. And I realize a lot of this is America's education system and the way it's presented and things like that. But I grew up thinking that in a lot of ways, tribal peoples were actually superior fighters, better fighters. America only won because we had more numbers or something like that or something. The tribal peoples were superior fighters because they had a better warrior spirit. And they got super angry. And because they got angry and had a warrior spirit, that's why they would prevail. Yeah. You ever seen the movie Braveheart? Most people besides Jewish producer Chris have seen the movie Braveheart. That's still so weird to me. Chris, you know, we're not going into that. You've seen the movie Braveheart. And the battle scenes in Braveheart where you have this English army there with all their armor on and all their shields on and they're marching in formation. And then what happens? William Wallace and this group of Scots, they don't have any armor at all. Some little dinky shields. And they don't even have formation at all. They just start screaming and yelling and they're really mad. And because they're really mad and they're screaming and yelling, they just take off running across the field like a bunch of nutballs. And because they're so mad and because they have a warrior spirit, that's how they defeated the English. Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. That never happened at all. That's not how that works. The truth is that training and discipline, they will win the day almost every single time. Roman armies used to routinely wipe out armies that were several times their size. And those armies they were fighting were really angry and had a great warrior spirit. You didn't have any discipline. You didn't have enough armor. You didn't have any discipline. Your 50,000 guys, you're welcome to run screaming at that formation of 20,000 Romans. But you know what that formation of 20,000 Romans is going to do? They're going to stay in formation. They're going to keep their shields where they should be. They're going to watch you gash yourself out because endurance is real. Nobody ran across a field 500 yards with a sword and then started fighting because you'd be out of breath just like you would and you wouldn't be able to do it anymore. The Romans are going to sit there. They're going to stay in formation. You're going to be gassed and they're going to cut you to ribbons and you're going to lose. Custer's Last Stand. That's something everybody knows about. Custer's Last Stand, the Battle of the Little Bighorn. Custer rides in to kill a bunch of Indians, and instead he gets outfought and slaughtered because they had a superior warrior spirit. Nope, the only reason he lost is they had more than 10 times his number. Virtually every other time, there was a major engagement between American troops and the Indian tribes. The Indian tribes got freaking mopped up, slaughtered. Completely slaughtered. Isn't that a freaking bummer? Don't you find that to be a bummer? What's a good example I could use? Today, modern day. Let's say there's a guy, and this guy was a wrestler. He wrestles, and then he's been training in boxing. He's been a wrestler and a boxer, and he's been training for 5 years. 5 years he's been wrestling and boxing. And let's say that guy does something terrible to you. He walks up to you in the bar and slaps your wife if you're a dude. He's going to beat the living crap out of you. No, but I'll be really mad. Don't care. He's trained. You're not. He's going to beat the living crap out of you. Isn't that disappointing? I don't know why I found that to be so disappointing, but every time I dig into one of these stories, the only time tribal peoples ever, ever, ever had a victory over the more established powers, the Zulus and things like that, the only time it ever happened was when they outnumbered them by leaps and bounds to such a degree you ran out of bullets. I don't know why I found that to be disappointing. And I'll give you one more. Vikings. Isn't everybody fascinated by Vikings? Men are, women are, we just are. There was a show, I actually never watched it, but it's supposed to be great. Vikings, it had several seasons, very famous show. Women are fascinated by the blonde-haired, ripped dudes, right? And guys are fascinated by this warrior culture, Vikings. But they were mostly just farmers. And don't get me wrong, they were great warriors. Don't get me wrong. They were great warriors. I'm not putting down Vikings, but when Vikings did their raids, they would usually just go grab a sword and a shield, and they go find some soft target somewhere that wasn't that well defended, and they go pillage some monastery or something like that and take some gold. And it was a weekend. It was a week. And then you go back home and He wasn't sitting around drinking grog all day, training with his sword. He was just farming some corn. That was it. And believe me, Viking culture is fascinating. It's just we all grow up with the movie version of a lot of things about past cultures and things, and it's not always real. Man, I feel terrible. I shouldn't have even answered that question. I feel terrible for how many bubbles I just completely burst. Let's talk politics. Hey, Jesse, you spoke about war with communists. Well, to win a war, you must destroy your enemy's ability to wage war. Stopping illegal immigration and deporting illegals is a good start, but I believe we must focus on future generations. Let's face it, with their love of abortion and transing kids, They're not replacing their own, so they have to recruit our children, shut down the Department of Education, so on and so forth. Okay, so let's talk about this in a very practical sense. And what I'm about to say could possibly be offensive, I guess. And remember, as always, if you're offended, I don't care. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I don't care. I am not telling you that starting a family, getting married and starting a family, is for everyone. That's complete crap. For some people, it's not for them. Maybe you're a dude, and maybe that's not your life. Maybe you don't want that to be your life. Maybe you're a woman. It's not your life. Maybe you don't want it. Maybe you do. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, and you've heard me say this before. You know what the strongest, longest-lasting form of anti-communism is? Start a family and raise good kids. Start a family and raise good kids. Those legions of demons you see in the streets, the animals out there always rioting and protesting and screaming and crying and blah, 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 blah. Those are almost all broken people from broken homes. And we have to defeat them, don't get me wrong, but we should feel bad for them. They're broken. Now, Democrats will break them on purpose because they understand a broken person is a perfect recruit for the Democrat Party. A happy person, a content person, never going to be a Democrat. They understand that. But you want to really fight communists? Get married and make babies and raise them right. There's no better way. No better way. Now, before we move on, talk about modern science and other things, I love that you're loving Hillsdale. I've heard about Hillsdale College on the radio forever, right? But never did I have access to actually listening to a course, watching a course. Hillsdale, with all that wisdom, they will teach all of us at no cost. You want to talk about true anti-communism? Go take Hillsdale's course on the Constitution with your kids. Learn about why the founders put this in and why they didn't. Get beyond the, Second Amendment stuff. I love that too, but why? What were the reasons? What were they thinking? What did they learn? And go back ancient. All kids love to learn about Sparta or the Roman Republic. Hillsdale has all these courses, more than 40 of them, at no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you sign up. No cost. And I love your emails. I love that you're loving it. I'm loving it. I'm freaking nerding out on it. I think I've taken 15 so far. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, let's get back to the question, shall we? Oh, wait, I almost forgot. So you understand that the show can be always family friendly. It always will be okay for your kids. I believe in that. I always have. I always will. You don't hear me cussing on here. You don't have to stress when you leave the room and your kids are in the car listening to the show. Although, if you left the room, why would your kids be in the car? That would probably be a stressful thing. Either way, your kids can listen and it'll be fine. But I understand that I can be offensive. I get that. And every now and then, we get some voicemails. Remember how I said I was talking last night about the Haitians? How they gathered at the border, and then I made some crack about it. You know, they didn't go back home and eat each other. That Biden let them in. Apparently, I offended somebody.
Mr. Kelly, thank you for your work, but as you refer to Haitians going home to eat each other, they are not cannibals. Please watch your words. Educate yourself more on other cultures, because they're beautiful people. Their country is just riddled with corruption. Okay? Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Why is Haiti riddled with corruption? What is it? I'm just asking a question. What is it about Haiti that makes Haiti riddled with corruption? Is there, Chris, I realized that I went to community college. Corey, you can help me out here if you want. Is there like a bug or something? Is there that they have a special bug there? Is it the weather maybe? But that wouldn't make any sense because they share an island with the Dominican Republic, and the Dominican Republic is doing just fine. Huh, so it can't be the weather. I don't think it's a bug per se. Is it maybe the Haitians themselves? I mean, surely that can't be. Stop selling me on this namby-pamby crap about how all people are beautiful, all cultures are beautiful. Some cultures suck. And don't sell me. I've been to all these crappy places in the world, by the way, and the only people who talk like that are people who've never been. There are rancid, despicable cultures all over the world. Cultures that abuse people, abuse women and kids. You talk about corruption. Don't give me that crap. Haiti sucks because Haitians are there. That's why. Because their culture is a voodoo, demonic culture, and that's why it sucks. The people that share an island with them seem to be doing just freaking fine. Haiti sucks because of Haitians. So don't ever tell me that again, you wuss. Jesse, if the mainstream media is wrong, then why do people still believe in mainstream science? Do they employ the same tactics to destroy the critical thinking using the education system? Could the global flood in Genesis actually be true? What are your thoughts about the Bible's predictions of the mark of the beast? How accurate do you think the Bible was? I think the Bible is 100% accurate. And why in the world do you think you can find seashells in the mountains of Montana? And listen, I'm not asking you to sign up for my belief system, but there are all kinds of cultures and there's all kinds of science who acknowledge the world was flooded at one point in time. That's actually science. You don't just have to read about that in the book of Genesis. The world was flooded. You can believe what you want to believe about that. The world was flooded. As far as mainstream science, there's all kinds of mainstream science that's crap. And you know how you know? Because if you look back in history at the science that was widely accepted, in fact, at various points in history, you were considered a heretic. They'd run you out of town. They'd kill you if you disagreed with it. Science that turned out to be completely bonkers wrong. Science, I realized this got blown up during COVID, this concept. Science is never, ever, ever settled. If you ever have somebody tell you anything beyond, you know, gravity, if somebody tells you the science on something is settled, that's a human being who doesn't understand what science is supposed to be. Science is supposed to be asking questions, figuring out things constantly. There's never an end to it. There's never an end to it. Did you ever read about all the French people who died building the Panama Canal? The French tried it before we succeeded. You know why so many of them died? Because the genius scientists were putting cups of water underneath the beds of the French soldiers who were sick from mosquitoes. They were putting mosquito nests under the beds of guys who were dying from malaria. That was settled science back then. Science is never, ever settled. Ever. There are so many things we will find out as we get older, or maybe when we get to heaven one day, that are ridiculously wrong. Don't ever listen to that crap. The one thing you can bank on is precious metals. That is the one thing you can bank on. Because history says you can bank on it. If I've told you this before. If I handed you a big sack of gold or silver, I just dropped this big sack right in your lap, and I put you in a time machine, and I send you back to ancient Rome or any ancient China, Egypt, whenever. Isn't it insane to think you could walk around Rome and buy whatever you wanted with the sack of gold I handed you today? That's lasting power. Let Gold Co. get you some physical gold or silver. We may all need that one day. Get it in your retirement. Again, reliable. Might have a trade war coming with India and China and Russia at the same time by the looks of things. Is your retirement fortified? Call 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. Gold Co. will take care of it. Don't gamble with your retirement. You worked hard for it. You don't want to go back to work at Walmart. jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, you can download the show iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's get back to the questions. Dear Menu Whisperer, I've never heard you embrace the greatness that is the tater tot. When prepared correctly, crispy on the outside, little spicy seasoning, dipped in proper Idaho fry sauce, I believe the tater tot is potato in its ultimate form. Are you anti-tot? His name is Chris. I've praised tater tots multiple times on this show. Tater tots are the superior form of potato. In fact, me, Jewish producer Chris, producer Corey, we went out last night after the show. Chris got something gross and kosher. Corey got a cheese pizza. I'm not even kidding. He ordered a cheese pizza like a woman. I, of course, got the right thing on the menu, and everyone admired what I got, and mine came with tater tots. The gentleman tried the tater tots. Look, oh, you should see the looks on their faces. The look of resignation that, once again, the menu whisperer nailed it. The only thing I'll push back on is your proper Idaho fry sauce. It's ketchup and mayonnaise, buddy. Everybody's fry sauce, it's just ketchup and mayonnaise. And everybody who has a fry sauce. You mentioned Idaho. I'm sure you're from Idaho. Look, I like Idaho. I love Idaho. Coeur d'Alene, the works. I've been to all of it. Your fry sauce is the same as a fry sauce they serve in Boston. It's the same as a fry sauce they serve in Miami, Seattle, San Diego, Omaha, Little Rock. Fry sauce is ketchup and mayonnaise. And while we're on the subject, before we move on to the other things, can we please stop calling the Thousand Island dressing you put on the burger secret sauce? It's not a secret. The secret is out. Everyone understands it's Thousand Island dressing. Maybe you put an onion in there. Maybe you put some pickles in there. But it's always the secret sauce is Thousand Island dressing. Every single time, the secret is out, okay? Everybody knows your secret sauce is the same as everyone else's secret sauce. Jesse, history nerd of the year. I thoroughly enjoyed your history lesson about the kamikaze of World War II. from your description of the devastation of the Japanese war machine, as well as the intense bombing of mainland Japan, did we really need to drop two nukes to end the Japanese conflict, or was this more of a show of might for the rest of the world? I love the show, says his name is Dave. Well, it depends on how you look at this thing. First, we were knee-deep in the commitment of the Japanese soldiers, the Japanese military complex, the entire war. It wasn't just kamikaze, as I laid out Monday and Tuesday night. Download those iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. It wasn't just the kamikaze. The entire war. These people were killing themselves to kill you. That's eye-opening. They didn't have to deal with that in Europe. That's not something that was dealt with en masse in other theaters anywhere in the world. Anyone who fought in the Pacific knew the Japanese will kill themselves to kill you. So we had that. Then, as I already laid out Monday and Tuesday, the Battle of Okinawa. You know, everyone knows about Iwo Jima. Okinawa was several times larger than Iwo Jima. Okinawa was a nightmare from hell. And they were dug in everywhere. And we had our kamikazes. They had their kamikazes kill 5,000 sailors while the Marines and Army are dying in droves on the island. And the kamikazes really played a big part. I shouldn't say a big part. They played a part in the decision to drop the bomb. Think about going back to the drawing board after Okinawa and your America, and you just had 5,000 troops die because Japanese pilots are crashing their planes into your ships on purpose. That was for Okinawa. Okinawa is, Chris, we looked this up. I think it's 200 or 300 miles off the coast of Japan. It's close, don't get me wrong, but it's a couple hundred miles. If you're in America and you're war planning, you just lost 5,000 sailors and you're not even at Japan yet. They'll do that for Okinawa, but you're not even at mainland Japan yet. You're going through the numbers in your head and you're thinking to yourselves, how many troops are we going to lose? And I've heard the estimates. We'd lose 1 million troops, and this is a fact. Several hundred thousand body bags had already been ordered for the American military for our troops planning for the invasion. We knew we were going to lose people in droves. 400 miles? Okay, Okinawa was 400 miles off the coast of Japan. You're 400 miles away. You lost 5,000 sailors to planes crashing. This is all being calculated in the minds of America's military, in the minds of America's politicians. And keep something else in mind. I mentioned already that when the kamikazes started killing our troops, we initially blacked out the media from it. Hey, nope, you're not talking about it. Started lying about it. Why? Because the American people were getting tired of the war. This is post-Germany, remember. Remember, this is post-Germany. Germany had already surrendered by this time. The American people, in their minds, hey, the Nazis are defeated. We just lost how many people in Okinawa? Where even is Okinawa? The American people were getting tired of it. Now, should we have dropped it or should we not? You had three options. Essentially, the way I see it, you had three options. And I mean, there's a lot of literature that backs this up. You can disagree with me. It's fine. I don't know everything. You can drop the atom bombs you have. We only had two. You can drop the atom bombs you have. You're going to kill women and children, a lot of them. And you can try to punch them so hard they surrender finally. Or you can drop the unconditional surrender thing. That's option two. Remember, that was our decision. And I'm not questioning the decision. I'm not. But we can debate it, for sure. We decided unconditional surrender was the only thing the Japanese could do. Well, once you take that stance, they're never allowed to negotiate a peace of any kind? There can be no negotiated peace. You have to throw yourself before the American president and say, I'll take whatever you give me. Once you take that stance, then you have to defeat people entirely, all the way. Once you decide you're never allowed to sue for peace, and that was the decision that America had made, then you have to utterly defeat them. You have made that choice when you decide unconditional surrender is the only option. So you either drop the bombs, you drop this whole unconditional surrender thing, or, and this is people who are knowledgeable about this subject, this is their best argument they make against dropping the bombs. And it's a very good argument against dropping the bombs. I disagree with it, but it's a good argument. The argument is we had complete and total ownership of the seas. Japan could float nothing. We were sinking all of it. They were starving already. They were facing a revolt already. We could have just blockaded the island. The whole thing. Is that more humane than a couple atom bombs? 100 million people starving to death? I would push back on that. That's where I disagree. I don't think starving 100 million people to death is more humane than a couple atom bombs. Is what it is. All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of politics. Small government, Thomas Jefferson. Let's talk about your dog. I keep getting these requests for more Fred stories. You don't want more Fred stories, believe me. You don't want to know what I have to go through. You know, did I ever tell you what he did when we were in Montana for a month? Aubrey was so mad. He basically abandoned us for grandma. He didn't want to come over. He didn't want to stay with us at all. He just loves my mom so much. He's the biggest traitor in the world. If you're giving him affection, if you are scratching Fred's ears or nuzzling with Fred, then you're his favorite person in the world. I'm convinced, unless it was a stranger, Fred would be not that pleasant. But if it was someone we welcomed into our home, I'm convinced that if that person loved on Fred for an hour, he would leave with them. I'm telling you, he's the most disloyal dog in the world. All he wants is love. I don't even know why we're keeping him alive. But we are. We're sprinkling rough greens on his food. Don't you want to keep your dog alive? You keep your dog alive by giving your dog real nutrition. Rough Greens is America's number one dog supplement. Go get a free Jumpstart trial bag and put some on your dog's food so your dog can live longer and better. RoughGreens.com, code Jesse, or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So we've talked about something along these lines before I get back to the emails, but it's wild to me. I think it's hilarious watching what has happened to the Democrat Party, and that they spent so many years, not only courting angry, malcontented, mentally ill people, but doing everything they possibly can to nourish that, to create more of them, angry, malcontented, mentally ill people. And you know why. We talk about it. That person's going to vote Democrat. You know an angry, bitter person? A malcontented person, a mentally ill person, who do they vote for? You get somebody broken mentally, get somebody whose soul is broken, they're going to vote Democrat forever. Democrats know this. They understand who their voters are. The problem is they courted and created so many mentally ill people. Now they can't break away from them. Even when they're politically unpopular, politically suicidal even, they can't get away from them. It's like the mentally ill people have put a leash on the Democrat Party, and any attempt to escape from it, they yank them back in. Dr. Frankenstein truly is now controlled by his monster. Remember after the election, men and women's sports is an 80-20 issue. Every poll shows it. Even the majority of Democrats don't want dudes playing against women in sports. Even the majority of Democrats. And one Democrat, Moulton, I'm going to say his name is Seth Moulton. I might have that wrong. Who knows? I went to community college. But one Democrat congressman came out after Trump won. And it's not like he came out against the tranny stuff or anything like that. It's a mental illness, or he was not honest in that way at all. All he said, he made the most benign statement. I've got daughters, and I don't think dudes should be able to compete against them. He was savaged by his own party so badly he came out and apologized, hasn't brought it up since. Democrats like Rahm Emanuel. You remember Rahm Emanuel? In case you don't, Rahm Emanuel has been a heavy hitter in American politics for a long time, and he was Barack Obama's chief of staff. He's notoriously a vicious political fighter. Remember that story where he walked in on a Democrat, I think it was a senator, maybe a congressman, in the shower, trying to rally support for something Obama was doing, walks up to this poor Democrat who's naked in the shower and starts poking him in the chest and threatening him. That's Rahm Emanuel. Well, Rahm Emanuel has been flirting with running for office again. Rahm Emanuel remembers Barack Obama, much as you or I may hate him, Barack Obama built a coalition where normies would vote for him. I, of course, never did. You never did. But a lot of norms and normas voted for Barack Obama. So Rahm Emanuel knows what a winning coalition, what a winning Democrat coalition looks like. And it's not like, he's come out and said, this tranny stuff. He's not said anything like that. He's made some statements of, we need to drop this. This needs to go away. I see the poll numbers. This is dumb. This needs to go away. Gavin Newsom. You remember that interview Gavin Newsom did on the Sean Ryan show, where he tried to mealy-mouth his way through it. I get it. I got kids. You know that stupid voice he's got? That was pretty good, wasn't it, Chris? I nailed it. Anyway. Well, you know we have that tranny Democrat in Congress, Tim McBride. You're not that happy about it.
I do believe that those statements have been overcorrections, yes. But I also believe that I don't want to also question the authenticity. I mean, I don't know the motivations for some of those comments. I don't want to question the authenticity of those beliefs. If those are their authentic beliefs, you know, people can have a conversation. But I don't believe that is the place we need to go. Republicans are the ones that are obsessed with this issue. And that's one of my gripes with sort of the Rahm's framing, is he perpetually accepts this notion that the Democratic Party is more interested in bathrooms than classrooms, and that's just not true.
They can't escape the monster they created. They have courted these people, created these people every chance they get. And now, even if you read the numbers and you know your position on whatever, tranny, open border, whatever it is, you know your position's unpopular. You know your position is a political loser. You know the position you're supposed to take. They still can't get away from it. Trapped. And it's awesome. It's awesome to watch them be trapped, because what they did to this country and the way they have abused their mentally ill base is really, really evil. It just is. It's really evil. Stop talking about this. I'm going to talk about something else right now. You have any home movies? Any old VHS tapes, Super 8 film, stuff like that? You know you need to get that stuff digitized. Ob has all her old home movies. She loaded them up in a legacy box. She sent them to Legacy Box. She watches them now on her phone. I know, because I have to suffer through these brutal gymnastics dancing videos. They're all on her phone. Don't you want to be able to look at videos of your parents on your phone? It's powerful, man. Legacy Box, I want you to know that this is a family company in Tennessee. I'm not asking you to load up your hard copy pictures and your tapes and send it to Cambodia. You're sending it to Tennessee, and they hand digitize it. They're not going to just dump it in a big machine and, well, come what? They care for your stuff. I trusted Legacy Box. I've done this. Me. I've trusted them with things that would have crushed me if I didn't get them back. I not only got them all back, they're all digital now. And my great-great-great-grandkids, who I'll never meet, will get to see my dad. That's awesome. They have a special right now, $9 a tape. They'll digitize whatever VHS, Super 8, whatever you have, $9 a tape. LegacyBox.com/Jesse is where you go for $9 a tape. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. All right. We have to talk about the invasion of Western Europe. Someone wants to talk a bit about Thomas Jefferson. Someone wants me to do some history of Palestine, Israel, history of that area. That'll be super offensive. Someone even wants to talk more about kamikaze stuff. All that and more coming up in the final hour. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.